Blog Talk Radio. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, and God bless you, everyone. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, November the 7th, 2021. Now, I am Bishop Shalene Cook, and I am blessed to be the woman of God of this assembly. But as always, I am being joined by some very beautiful and anointed staff members this morning in the persons of Minister Gladys McGee and also Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Hallelujah. So we, on behalf of all of us, we just want to welcome you to our service this morning, and we pray that you will truly receive a blessing on today. So right now, we are going to open up in prayer with our very own Minister Gladys. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Father God, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for another day that was not promised, Father God, but you yet saw fit to sound our internal alarm clocks, Lord. Wake us up, Father God, with full activity of our limbs, operating in our right minds, Father God, and for that we give you all the praise and all the glory, Father God, Lord. We just thank you that we're able to unite in this assembly on this morning, bringing forth your word, Father God, Lord, seeking you, Father God, Lord. We thank you, Father God, and we ask, Lord, that this service go decent and in order, Father God, Lord, and your anointing suppress all things, Father God, Lord, that it will hover over the broadcast on this morning, Lord, and that someone will be saved and set free on to thank you, Lord, for our anointed speakers on this morning, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you will anoint them, Father God, so that they can give us a word, Father God, on today from you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Most of all, we pray, Lord, that someone would be saved and filled on today, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do thank you and give you all praise, glory, and honor. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. We praise you, Lord. Thank Amen. You. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Where are my people at? Whether you've been born again or whether you are not, come on, wherever you are, I want you to lift your hands up, to lift your hands up. From you. Teach me how to sanctify my life. Just to please you, you've got to teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, how to love you, Jesus. Love you. You've got to teach me, Lord. You've got to teach me, Lord, how to love you. And walk with you. Jesus, I love you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Teach me, Lord, how to love you. Thank Amen. You, Jesus. We are in the midst of a wonderful worship service, and I would just like to say once again, good morning to all of you who are just joining us. We are so glad that you're here with us this morning, and we pray that you will truly receive a blessing on today. Now, at this time, we are going to ask that our very highly esteemed and beloved mother of the church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, come forth with our weekly meditational reading that she brings to us from a mighty to powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So won't you please now give your undivided attention to the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. God Amen. Bless each and every one of you. The lesson this morning is entitled, Count on God's Forgiveness. We'll be looking at Hebrews 10:2, which reads in part, for the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. Now, what are you more conscious of today? Your sins are the fact that you have been forgiven. My friend, don't be conscious of your sins. Be conscious instead of Jesus and his finished work. The Lamb of God has taken away all your sins at the cross. Count on the fact that you are a forgiven child of God. No matter what has happened or what you have done, God wants you to know that because of his Son's finished work, he will be merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and lawless deeds. He will remember no more. Hebrews 8:12. That is why you should not be conscious of your sins. In fact, when you are sin conscious, the devil brings in condemnation. And the more you receive it and condemn yourself, the more you will find yourself unforgiving towards yourself and even others. I was told by a pastor friend that when a lady who had cancer on her face asked for prayer for healing, the Lord revealed to him that it was self-hatred that was keeping her from receiving her healing. She could not forgive herself and was full of self-condemnation. When she realized the problem, she counted on the fact that God was merciful to her unrighteousness and that she was already forgiven. She received the love of God. Then, right before the pastor's eyes, her whole face changed. She received her healing that very moment. Something happens when you believe that you are forgiven. That is why God says to you, I want you to believe that all your sins I will remember no more. I want you to believe that you are my child, enjoying my mercy, and that you can always count on my forgiveness. Beloved, remember that all your sins have already been paid for by Jesus on the cross. And the more you count on the fact that you have the Father's forgiveness and that he does not condemn you because of Jesus' finished work, the more sin and its effects, sickness, hatred, lack, and so on, will lose their grip on you. You will find yourself walking in a greater measure of God's and blessings. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thought for today, count on the fact that you are a forgiven child of God. Amen.
PDA, hit me!
Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, and this is a time when we show the most love, because this is when we stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters, saved and unsaved, all over the globe. Hallelujah. We go to the Lord, hallelujah, just praising him, petitioning him, and leaving our issues at his throne of grace. So right now, my brothers and sisters, won't you please prepare to go to the Lord with Apostle Zeta Flowers, hallelujah, and let us leave it all at the throne. Amen. Apostle Zeta.
Amen. 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 God bless you, everyone. It is time for prayer. It's praying time. All right. Let us all to the throne of grace. Let us come humbly before the Lord, looking to him because he will answer our prayers. Lord, we come before you this morning. We come before you, Lord, asking you to look on us this morning, asking you to forgive us this morning from whatever it is, it might be, that's on our hearts, in our hearts, in our minds, or things that we did do and didn't do. So we ask for your forgiveness this morning in Jesus' name, in Jesus Christ's holy and righteous name. And Father God, we come before you with our petitions this morning, with our needs, giving you all of these things, placing them on you today, because we know that everything that concerns us concerns you. And so we come placing everything upon your shoulders this morning, knowing that you will take care of each and every situation, every circumstance, every problem, every need. Father God, remember those morning that are hurting.
Yes.
Remember those,
Lord,
that are dying.
Yes,
remember
Jesus.
Them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name,
Lord,
of Jesus. And we pray that you would touch right now.
Right
that
now,
you would
Lord.
Move in a mighty way. We speak
right
healing
now,
this morning in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we call
Lord.
Out for you to work miracles this morning.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, in the behalf of your people, God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
because you told us that we could. And so we're beseeching you. We're believing you. We're knowing, hallelujah, that you do not fail. And so we lift up the world situations to you this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would move all over the globe in the name of Jesus, leaving nothing out. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you every crisis this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
Everything, hallelujah, that is pending. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, that you would work in situations, Lord, and straighten out situations and move situations and move people, hallelujah, in order to get done what needs to be done in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And we look to you for it in Jesus' name. Touch the sick this morning. Hallelujah. The sick in every way, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Those with diseases. Hallelujah. Those that are fighting battles with cancer. Those that are fighting battles with COVID-19 and other diseases. Oh, touch, Lord. Touch in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We know that you can. Hallelujah. We know that you will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh,
yes.
God, we are trusting
and
we're believing in you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Touch the mentally ill this morning. Hallelujah. Touch
Jesus.
Everywhere. Go in
yes,
and out
Lord.
The hospital.
All over the world, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Move in
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name. Have your
yes,
way, God.
Lord.
In the name
Come
of Jesus.
Now.
In Jesus' name. Have your way. In Jesus'
yes.
name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We command that the devil flee this morning. We
yes.
demand that he get out of our lives, out of our homes.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Yes,
out
Jesus.
Of our situations. Hallelujah. Out
yes.
of our ministries. Out of our churches. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we command it in Jesus' name because you have given us the power and the authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you were resurrected, hallelujah, you gave us power. Hallelujah. So we're asking that you move in that resurrection power this morning in a mighty way, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we lift up children. Hallelujah. Children,
yes,
that have been
Lord,
being
everywhere,
abused.
God.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
even by
Lord.
Their own family members. Hallelujah.
My Lord.
And
touch
even
Jesus.
Worse, murdered. Hallelujah. We come against the spirit of murder this morning all over the globe in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. We know it's out of hand. Hallelujah. But we know that nothing is too big for you. Hallelujah. Because you are a great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything about you is great. And so we're depending on you this morning. Hallelujah. If there's any sick among us, Lord, hallelujah. Those, hallelujah, on the ministry team this morning, hallelujah, those that are listening in, we ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We
yes,
ask
Lord.
That you would heal in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
heal
Jesus.
Broken hearts in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Heal those that are physically, hallelujah, having issues. In Jesus' name, in every way, God, in the name of Jesus, we're depending upon you. We pray also that you would bless Spirit Alive Ministries. Hallelujah. Bless
God
in the message
you,
this
mother.
Morning that when it goes out, Lord, we know, according to your word, it won't come back void, but it will
yes,
go out
Jesus.
And it will accomplish, hallelujah, what you
yes.
are sending it out to do. So we pray that many will be touched, that others will be saved. In the name of Jesus,
yes.
hallelujah, that people will walk in your way. Hallelujah, we lift up the backsliders. Hallelujah, that they
yes,
will return.
Jesus.
Hallelujah,
yes,
that they
Lord.
Will come back to you, lifting holy hands.
Yes,
hallelujah,
Jesus.
In a repenting state, in Jesus'
yes.
name. Hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah, transform those in our families. Hallelujah,
yes,
that need
Lord.
Transformation. Hallelujah,
yes,
those that have turned their backs upon you. Hallelujah, those
yes,
that don't feel
Jesus.
Like they need you because of the blessings that are flowing in their lives. Hallelujah,
well,
but Lord, they do need you, whether they believe
yes.
it or not. And so I pray that they
yes.
will be touched this morning in the name of Jesus. Let there be a stirring among us, God, in
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, among those that are saved and those of us that are, hallelujah, there will be a stirring up, hallelujah,
yes,
in
Jesus'
name, that everybody will be reaching out and doing their part in the kingdom, in the name
yes.
of Jesus, that we might bring in many souls, hallelujah, for a great harvest. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for what you're doing
thank
already.
You, Lord.
We thank you for what you're yet going to do. In Jesus'
yes,
holy and
you,
righteous
Lord.
Name. Amen and amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That was beautiful. Amen.
I give
thank
myself
you.
Away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
heart.
Sean Mitchell singing, I Give Myself Away. Well, saints of God, it is now time for this morning's message. So if you haven't already done so, please retrieve your Bibles. And today we are going to be looking at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. That's Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now, if you are listening via your computers, you are more than welcome to go over to BibleGateway.com, type in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and it will bring up the scripture for you. I will be reading from the King James Version with everything that Jesus says in red. Hallelujah. All right, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And the word of God reads as follows. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace, asking you to empty me of myself and step into this yielded vessel of clay and teach your people what you would have them to know about yourself. Father God, I pray that you will use this message to edify your people, encourage them, and empower them to live an abundant life in you right now. And Lord, if there is someone listening that does not know you in the pardon of their sin, I pray that they get a hallelujah moment today and come running to you and ask what they must do for you to become their Lord and Savior too. So it is in Jesus' mighty, matchless, holy name I do pray it all. Amen. Hallelujah, saints. Let's get started. Now, as we look at the background of this passage, we can see that Peter and John were together again. Now, they had done a lot together when Jesus was around, because when Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, there's a good chance that Peter and John were paired together. Now they are on their way to the temple to pray. Even though Jesus the Messiah had come and provided salvation, these early believers were still Jews who worshiped at the temple. Jewish historians tell us that people came to the temple to pray during the time sacrifices were offered, which were 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., and then they came to say prayers again at sunset. Now, as Peter and John arrived at the east side of the temple at the beautiful gate, they encountered a lame man. Now, this gate was made of Corinthian bronze, which was shiny and was more valuable than the gates plated with silver and set in gold. Being on the east side of the temple, this gate may have received its name Beautiful from the way the sunrise illuminated it with the beautiful, brilliant rays of the morning sun. Now, little did the crippled man know that something more beautiful than the shiny gate, beautiful, would shine into his life this day. Peter did not have what the beggar thought was needed. He had something 1,000 times better, and he did not hesitate to give it away. And this is at the heart of our message today, because we are called by God to give away that which we have. But we must make sure that what we have is the right stuff. So today, with God's help in your prayers, we're going to unwrap three principles that will help to ensure us that we are giving away the right stuff. Now, the first principle I want us to know and understand is that earthly riches produce diminishing returns. You see, in terms of money, it's not how much you have that matters. It's how you use what you have. Having less does not excuse us from good stewardship. The Bible says if we are faithful with a little, God will entrust us with more. If we are unfaithful with a little, the little that we have will be taken away and given to someone who can be trusted with it. Many people dream about winning a boatload of money, and they think that they could do a lot of good if they could only get their hands on this money. However, 1 Timothy 6 and 9 tells us that people who want to get rich fall into temptations and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Faithfulness and contentment with what we have appears to be our biblical motto. Do what you can. and let God do what only he can. God wants to bless his people financially, but he will generally not do so until he sees that we can be trusted to manage his resources wisely and share them with those in genuine need. Now, having said this, we also need to recognize that money is often not what's needed to help meet a person's need. Peter did not stop and wring his hands and say, "Oh, I wish I had more money so I could help this beggar." And keep in mind, the money that people brought to the apostles was not theirs to keep. It was the Lord's money, and they used it to help the needy among them. Could Peter have accessed some of this money to bless the poor man? I certainly think so. He could have talked it over with John and the other apostles, and I'm sure they would have been willing to help this poor crippled man out. However, he was not distracted by the man's request because he knew there was something available that was far greater than any amount of money. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But for now, I want us to see that the lack of money does not limit God from working in and through our lives. We can spend thousands of dollars on a church building. However, money in and of itself will not bring anyone closer to knowing Jesus. Hear me. Money is not evil. In fact, it can be quite useful. But it can never, ever substitute the presence and the power of God at work in our lives. In economics, the laws of diminishing returns implies that beyond a certain point, additional investment in a given venture produces less and less of a return. I think that may be true to a large extent in our own pursuit of worldly wealth. We need a certain amount to live on, but if we put too much of ourselves into the pursuit of money, we may wake up one day and realize that it wasn't worth what we traded for it. In Mark 8:36, Jesus asked, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You see, there are diminishing returns on the pursuit of worldly riches. There are also diminishing returns on giving a money away to an individual. Now, if you see people in need, as Peter saw this lame man, you may bless them with some money and help them out for a meal or two. But if you continue to give them money on a regular basis, you may see diminishing returns because you are teaching them to be dependent on you. So then they lose the blessing and dignity of providing for themselves as God intended. They lose the opportunity to trust in God. But the biggest problem is this. Money does not solve their problem. Money did not solve the lame man's problem. People gave him money every day out of pity for him. It kept him alive, but it did nothing to solve his problem. Earthly riches can only go so far, even though most of us would like to see just how far that is, or at least we think we would. So now let's talk about heavenly riches for a minute, because heavenly riches produce lasting returns. Now, what were the main man's problems? He couldn't walk, he couldn't work, and he couldn't worship. He was completely dependent on other people to carry him up the temple steps so he could lie there and beg for a living. Now, many people are content to simply beg for a living when God wants to give them life, a real life, an abundant life. This man did not yet have the life Jesus wanted to give him, because he had not yet believed on Jesus. But oh, hallelujah, after Peter gave him what he had, this man was able to walk, he was able to work, and he was able to worship. Earthly riches didn't do that, but heavenly riches sure did. If we have the Spirit of God, we have all that we need, and we have what others need too. Peter had no earthly riches in his possessions, but he did have the Holy Spirit inside of him, giving him the direction and the power to speak healing and life to this lame man. Verse 8 says that after the lame man took Peter's outstretched hand, He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple court, and he began to walk and praise God. Hallelujah. He was jumping and he was shouting, glory to God. And saints, it's so significant that this lame, this now healed man went into the temple courts with the apostles. That's because that's where they went to pray. And that's what the lame man wanted to do. He wanted to express his thanks and appreciation to God for healing him. So he praised, he prayed, and he worshiped. Again, earthly riches cannot produce this kind of return. But all glory to God, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ was able to produce ever-increasing dividends in the life of this man. Peter instructed this man to put on his faith in Jesus, the Messiah of Nazareth, for his healing. Now, and the lame man was probably familiar with who Jesus of Nazareth was because he was over 40 years old and had probably been begging at the temple throughout the ministry of Jesus. He probably would have at least heard about the uproar a few months earlier at the Passover when this man Jesus had been executed. Perhaps he had also heard that the disciples of Jesus were claiming that he had risen from the dead. But regardless of all of that, I believe that he became a follower of Jesus, the Messiah of Nazareth, on that day. The heavenly riches that Peter shared with him paid eternal dividends. Now, maybe we will be able to meet this man in heaven and someday say, hear him say, hey, we can say to him, hey, I know you. You're the one who went walking and leaping and praising God after he healed you by the gates of beautiful. And I believe if this man could speak to us today, I believe that he would tell us that Jesus of Nazareth is still in the miracle working business. So yeah. Money can help us a little, and spiritual power can help us a lot. But finally, let's focus in on the main thrust of this message. God wants us to be willing to give away what we have. He said, if you have it, then use it. Now, this can be a double-edged sword because if we have material resources of any amount, we should be sharing what we have with others who are in need. If we see a need, we should meet it. But, again, we shouldn't enable someone else to be irresponsible or wasteful, but we should share what God has blessed us with to help someone else who really and truly needs it. On the other hand, if you have received spiritual blessings from the Lord, we should be willing to share those with other people as well. We must always seek ways to pay it forward. Have you received forgiveness from the Lord? Well, I know I have. So, I am always willing to share with others how they can receive forgiveness. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Then you need to share with others the exciting news so that they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you received healing from the Lord? Then you need to be going out and sharing with others that they can be healed by the power of God. Hallelujah. Also, we must recognize that as followers of Jesus Christ, we have the authority to declare the word of the Lord, just as Peter did in this exact situation. You see, the Bible gives us examples of at least two different approaches to healing. Sometimes we find believers praying and asking God to heal a person, as in James 5:16. Other times, we find believers declaring healing for a person or even commanding it, be healed. The formula probably doesn't matter so much as long as we are being obedient to the Holy Spirit and what he is saying to us and through us. So if we have silver, gold, or other financial resources, we need to recognize that they all belong to God, and we need to be willing to share them with others. James 2:15-17 says, suppose you see a sister or brother who needs food or clothing, and you say, Well, goodbye and God bless you. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It is dead and useless. Or in other words, the way everybody likes to say it, faith without works is dead. We do have a moral, because we do have a moral obligation to help those in need when we're able. But that's not all. We also have a spiritual obligation to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and to give us spiritual resources. If we have them, use them. On the other hand, if you don't have it, then get it. What do we do when such as I have is not enough? What happens when we pray for people to be healed and nothing ever happens? Now, I've realized that God is completely sovereign and has a plan in everything. I also realize that even though Jesus healed all who came to him, I don't know of anyone alive today who can make the same claim. However, that does not let us off the hook, beloved. No, 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 no. Hear this statement. There is no reason for any follower of Jesus Christ to be destitute of spiritual power. There is no reason under the sun for a child of God to be spiritually bankrupt. If God's power is not working through our lives, then we had better stop and ask him why not. We better be asking some questions like, Lord, what am I missing? Lord, am I not praying enough? Do I not understand your word clearly? Is there something in my life that is hindering the flow of your power? Does this problem require fasting and praying? Now, some of you are aware that I relocated from California to Missouri about 2 years ago. The cost of living is so high in California that I literally did not know how much longer I could hold on. Now, I was praying and seeking God's face about what to do because I knew something had to happen to make me uncomfortable enough with my present situation to seek something different. Now, my brother telling me that he could use some help after his wife passed away was the ticket that did that for me. After being back in Missouri for a while, I discovered something. I do have some buying power. Not a lot, mind you, but enough. So I began to looking for the right situation to get my own apartment to use that spending power. Why am I telling you this? Well, I think it might parallel the way some of us think about spiritual power. We think we have just enough to keep on living, or maybe we would like to do more for God by being used in miraculous ways and sharing our faith with others. However, we don't think we have the necessary power. So why is that? You know, if we're sitting up saying, Lord, use me. Lord, I want to do more for you. I want to be used in miraculous ways. And then we don't think we have the necessary power, what's the point? Mark 16:17-18 tells us what kind of power Christians have. And this is what he says. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. If they pick up snakes with their hands or drink deadly poisons, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a whole lot more power than we're seeing in the lives of Christians today. Why? Has God's power decreased? No. Mm-hmm. Have we run out of people who need healing or deliverance? No. Mm-hmm. Then what's the problem? If we are praying as we ought and being fed by God's word, then why are we not seeing God's power at work among us more than we are? Well, I don't have the answers to this, but here is one thought from the book of Acts. Jesus told the disciples that they would receive power to be his witnesses after the Holy Spirit came upon them. And apparently they believed him, because after the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, Peter and the others demonstrated a bold confidence that miracles would happen and that people would be saved, and they shared the gospel. We must come to one or two conclusions. Either we do not have the power Jesus spoke about, or we don't think we have it, and therefore we do little or nothing with it. Kind of like my living situation. I was not aware that I had enough spending power to get out of the current situation. Therefore, I felt stuck, and I wasn't doing much to pursue a change. Maybe God sends things into our lives sometimes to help us recognize the power and authority we have in his name. Those things may make us uncomfortable, and they're going to shake us to the core, and it's going to feel like we're having our foundation pulled out from under us. But let me tell you something. If they accomplish God's purposes in our lives, then we should welcome them. Maybe some of our sicknesses come so that we will call on God and see the power at work in our lives. If we are living according to the principles in God's word and we are in right relationship with him, then we do have the authority as sons and daughters of God to speak truth and life into the most difficult circumstances and obstacles. If we are not in line with God's word, or if we are out of relationship with him, the best thing for us to do today is to come to him and make things right. It is only as we keep things right with God that we will have the right stuff to give those who are in need. Listen, from one beggar to another, let me ask you this question. What do you have? You may not be able to meet the needs of another person with money, but many of you have something else that will help. If you believe in Jesus, you have the Spirit of God living in you, wanting to use you to give hope and life and healing to those in need. If you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the power to be an effective witness for Jesus. And please know that it does not have to be the pastor or the bishop or the apostle who moves in this way, or praise in this way for the sick. James says to call for the elders of the church to pray for the sick. But he was not suggesting that only church leaders should pray for the sick. Any believer can pray the prayer of faith, believing God to do the miraculous. But just remember, it's all about him and not about you. You are just part of the water line that brings that cool, refreshing water to those who are dry and thirsty. That's all I am. I'm a tool at God's disposal. I don't need to be the renowned apostle, bishop, pastor, Reverend Charlene Cook, because I am truly content just being his delivery girl. But let's ask God to make us all what he wants us to be. And if you don't know, ask God to show you who you are in Christ. And he will give you the authority to have to speak life into sickness and disease. We need to be willing to be used by God to bring a lasting return in the lives of others. We cannot and must not live simply for ourselves. We can and must live for the purpose Jesus has for us. What do you have to offer? From all that God has freely given you, he asks that you freely give some to others. Today, if you are not in the right relationship with God, you can talk to him about it and ask him to forgive you for your offenses against him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you have never asked Christ to forgive you, or maybe you have, but it's been a while. If you are willing to bow your heart and come right now, hallelujah, I'm going to ask that Minister Tina Brown come forth and extend to you an invitation into a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Minister Tina, won't you bless us?
Good morning, saints of God. Good morning. Bow our heads and pray and come to the Lord and ask him to come into our heart. You just must simply say and ask, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins that I have committed. I believe that you died on the cross for us to save us from our sin. And I ask you again to be my Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen and glory to God. We just praise God for this wonderful worship service this morning, and I just want to bind, hallelujah, this word this morning with prayer. Hallelujah. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, praying in the name of Jesus that we would all, hallelujah, be filled more with your Holy Spirit so that we can give away the right stuff, Father God. Lord, use our testimonies to encourage, empower, and uplift others. And Lord, I pray that you would just use our light, Lord God, as a beacon of hope and love and life for others. Lord, use our hands to lift up others. Use our hearts to embrace others. Use our mind and our discernment, Lord, to lead and guide others. And we will be so careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' holy, righteous, and righteous name we do pray. Amen. At this time, Amen. We're going to ask Mother Mitchell to come forth, and she will read us our benediction, and I will dismiss you. Amen.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let the church say amen. Hallelujah. You have been listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. Of course, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and this morning I was joined by the beautiful servant leaders in the persons of Minister Gladys Manny McGee, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Minister Tina Brown, and of course, a very lovely Apostle Zeta Flowers. So on behalf of all of us, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week and that you follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow we're going to have another night of revival. So we invite you to come out at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another night of refreshing and revival. So on behalf of all of us, we pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household of faith to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Amen, saints of God. You guys were awesome today. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you. Love you all.
Love you all. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen. God bless you all.
God bless.
Bye-bye.